Hello and welcome back to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon, to our little mini series called Permission in Prayer. I'm here with McKenna again.
Woo!
And tonight we're talking about Lectio Divina. Woohoo! So even if you've heard of Lectio Divina before, as a matter of fact, especially if you've heard of Lectio Divina before and you're like, I know what this is, we want you to be here because we want to teach you more than you probably know about it. Now, I'm not sure who you are, and maybe you know more than we do about Lectio Divina, in which case, please hit us up in the comments. Please tell us, and we would love to know more. But we just want to kind of challenge the perception that Lectio Divina is a four-step process that you kind of move through, boop, 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 done, and that's the only way to pray with Scripture, because there's a lot more here from the very history of it and the foundation of it to how to practically do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, McKenna, if you don't mind me kicking it over to you,
mm-hmm.
What's Lectio Divina? What are the four steps?
Totally. I'm also like, if you read this title about Lectio Divina and your heart was like, Lectio Divina,
right.
Not my vibe. Oh, or like, really a classic. I've been there. Feel you. So, But that's why I'm excited for today. Lectio Divina, divine reading, basically diving into Scripture.
Yeah, that's right.
That is living and active, God's love letter to you. Yeah, okay, so the four steps are reading, meditating, responding, and contemplating, resting.
It's like read, reflect, respond, rest. Those are kind of the easy way. Yeah, so this was a practice developed by monks, by Catholic monks, I believe Benedictine monks. They're the first ones who like penned it. I'm sure other people did variations of this. But the idea was that it was a way, a strategic, structured way to get into the Word of God. You read the passage, then you kind of reflect on the passage. In a sense, you chew on it, you dive into it a little bit more, and then you respond in some way. You journal, you talk to God, you begin that, you know, to engage in that conversation that he started through his word. And then in the end, you kind of set aside all the work and you simply rest.
Mm-hmm.
And people have added on like a four step, like an action step. Then you go do something different. You change something, right? But I mean, I don't know about you. I was taught this in high school. When did you start learning about Lectio?
Yeah, I would say around then.
Okay, yeah. And it was taught like, here is the four step process. The end, you know, and
this
I don't
is
know.
The way.
It didn't feel creative. It felt...
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel limited. Like, I don't want to do four steps that some monk laid out for me.
Your rebellious spirit.
I know. I was like, I'm doing my own thing. But I have circled back in my adult life to Lectio Divina and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. There's so much here. This is a wealth, a fountain of options. It's like the buffet we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You and I like a buffet. Mm-hmm. We like different options. And there's lots of options within each step. So we're going to reframe this as like, if you are so sure that God is talking to you, then do the work of digging through the Scripture so that you can find what he's, you know, don't think, oh, maybe God will talk to me today. Think, I know he will talk to me today, but I'm going to find out where it is. You know, like I'm going to look for it.
Wow, that's interesting.
You know?
That's interesting because I think there have been times where I am like rebelling against the classic ways to dive into Scripture.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, well, okay, I'll start reading something, and I'm like, oh, God's not speaking to me through this one.
Right.
Like, must be the wrong one.
Gotta
keep searching for one that'll hit.
Totally.
And then I get really like, oh, am I even in the right book? Or
right.
Like, or even this belief of, I've read the Gospels, and they
yes.
rocked me the first time I read them
and
all.
And now I know them all.
And now I feel like I've read the whole Bible, which is not true.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have.
Yeah.
And so I'm like,
familiarity.
I don't even...
Yeah. Sometimes familiarity can kill the flame, and you know, the brain desires new things. We want to be, you know, with our little short attention spans as we're scrolling, we want new stuff. So when you get open to the Bible and you see a passage you already know, you're like, been there, done that.
Totally.
I'm like, toss that idea in the trash because there is something new for you. The Word of God is living and active.
Yeah.
He is new. You are a new person reading this, different than the last time.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of roll up your sleeves and get to work here because there's stuff to find.
So. And he wants to say something to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading, like, the story of the Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a classic. You know, I know what happens.
Right.
Like, from the back of my hand, I know what happens.
Right.
And I was so rocked by it because I was like, oh, my gosh. Or just the things that came up in my heart where I was like, that the Samaritan did not hesitate to go, and the language that was used, I just was like, what the heck?
Yes.
And the part of me that's like, oh, don't read it, you've already read it.
Yeah.
Would not have seen that, you know?
Would not have seen that, because that part is a little bit crusty, a little bit jaded.
Yeah.
It's like, I already know this. And you don't. You don't know what, yeah, the Lord always has something new. So, okay, so the four steps, let's just dive in step by step, and kind of as simple as can be, we'll just give options for things to do. And if this episode feels a little bit like information overload, sorry. I do have a little freebie of Monica's guide through Lectio Divina. A free digital download. If you want it, go to thecatholicbibleclasswithmon.com, find freebies, get this, and print it and stick it on your own Bible, because there are a lot of different directions to go here, and you can spend a long time on each step. You don't have to do each of these. This is not a checklist to do them all. These are a buffet, okay? Options. So if, McKenna, are you familiar with the literal sense of scripture, with the four senses of scripture in general?
Explain.
Okay, literal, anagogical, allegorical, moral.
Oh, heard of it. Okay, yes.
Yes. So these are different senses of scripture.
Oh, just to know, I didn't go to school theology wise. Monica did. And so
this
it's
is
just
true.
It's fun to see her brain come alive.
The little things.
Little things.
Yeah, which is funny, because I feel like I'd be a much better college student now if I went back, but it's wasted on the
wheel.
But anyways, the first step, reading, is really, I substitute in the word understanding. It's not just reading it. And it's not just reading it out loud and getting the plot.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more to understand. And this is where you use the literal sense of scripture. So the literal sense of scripture is asking, what is the author intending to say? To know what the author's intending to say, you kind of need some more background. You got to ask questions like, okay, who's the author? When was this written? Who was it written to? What language was it written in? Are there, you know, metaphors? Is there, you know, idioms or commonplace phrases, slang? Are there things that are happening in the world contemporary at this time that affect the story?
Yeah.
What's actually going on? Because I might just misunderstand the story because I don't get what this word means. And the whole thing hinges on this word. So instead of just like reading it and scanning it and being like, yeah, no, I get it. You know, ask yourself, what if I don't get it?
Yeah.
And start asking more questions.
Context matters.
Yeah, the context matters. Yeah. And we don't know what we don't know. It's a very ancient book. You and I don't usually sit down with like Julius Caesar and like read it by ourselves. You know, we don't read ancient documents without a guide. But we do that with the Bible. We take this ancient book and we read it by ourselves and we say, I get it. Like, like no offense to anybody. We probably don't. You know, we have to approach it with a little bit more humility that there's probably stuff here that we don't know yet, and it'd be great to be taught. So I don't know. I think I've mentioned this maybe in another episode, and I don't mean to repeat myself, but like I like to just Google a lot of things as I'm praying. I'm doing research as I'm praying. I'm asking, you know, for Catholic articles online. I'm trying to figure out what I don't know. So here's a list of questions to start out. What book am I reading this from? What genre is this book? Is this book in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Who is the author of this book? What do I know about this author? Was the author an eyewitness? Or who is the author's source if they're not an eyewitness? Who is this book written for? Are there any words in this passage that I don't know? Are there any units of measurement? Money? Is there anything I can look up to get a modern day equivalent so I can understand the size or the price or whatever? It's important. Sometimes Jesus will say things like a couple denarii and it's 100 days wages, or it's a whole year's worth of salary. So it would be like, you know, $100,000, $70,000 in our world, but we don't know that it's that expensive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the jar of perfume that woman broke, Mary Bethany broke, I think was something like, it's very expensive. We don't get how expensive that is.
Right. And we're
you know?
It's perfume.
Right.
That and body like, works so cheap.
Yes, totally. Other questions. Are there any uses of literary devices in this passage? Metaphors, idiom, slang? Are there any words or images in this passage that remind me of other places in the Bible? So after I kind of establish a basis of, okay, I kind of know this story, then I start asking, is this word used somewhere else in the Bible? Is this phrase reminding me of another story? Do I hear this other places?
Yeah.
You know, what's happening directly preceding this story? If I'm in a gospel, I'm flipping up a couple chapters ahead. Where did Jesus just come from? Where is he going to next?
Yeah.
Can I imagine it in my mind's eye? That's very Ignatian. Can I see it and sense it? And what sticks out to me there? Are there any places in this passage that like rub me the wrong way. Things that I'm like, yeah. I don't like that. I don't get what that is. They challenge me. Why? Mm. Can I get a better understanding of it? Can I Google, why is this difficult? This happened just a couple of Sundays ago. There was a reading about like the servant who cooks the books and because he knows he's about to get fired. And the master is like, good job. You know, you were so clever. And that bothered me. And I was like, what is this? And I was like Googling and I couldn't find anything. And finally, a couple days later, I found a podcast that a priest had posted his homily and he directly addressed that. And I was like, thank you. But I was on the hunt for it. I was looking because I didn't understand.
Right. And I'm like, wow, it is good and important to pay attention to your wrestles, I think, with scripture or where you're like, I don't know if I agree. Because I'm like, man, you don't want to show up and be like, I don't know if I fully trust what's going to be said here.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly.
But so I'm like, I think it's good to be a truth seeker and be like, what? Why do I not?
Yes.
Like that. You
and
know?
Assume that I'm probably wrong if I'm disagreeing with God. But why am I so adamant here? Am I hurt? Am I mad?
Real.
Am I misunderstanding? Like, am I assuming that God's oppressing women? Oh, wait. I'm wrong about that. I didn't get it. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Real.
Okay, yes, other things like, can I look up any articles, homilies, commentaries that might explain what's challenging me? Are there any places in this passage that stick out to me, though I don't understand why? If there's any dialogue, can I rewrite the dialogue in a way that God would speak to me today? You know, can I rephrase it using idioms of today so I can understand it better? Can I cross-reference it with other translations? There's a translation called the Passion Translation, which, I don't know, gets a little bit of a bad rep because it takes some liberty. But I like to read it alongside, you know, the regular Bible that I'm reading, the Catholic Bible, because it sometimes brings to light different expressions. I'm like, oh, that's a different way of saying that. It's not necessarily the best translation, but it's a great, like, aid to see a different way of writing, of reading it. Also good to know, like, what's normal for the characters of the time period. Where are they? Where's the location? Is this significant? Can I look at it on a map? Can I look up images of it present day to see it? So these are all types of things that are literally just under the literal hermeneutic lens, sense of scripture. But then there's this whole other thing, like, treasure hunt. Jesus, what are you showing me? Jesus, what are you highlighting to me? Asking him things. If a word sticks out to me, look up the origin of the word. Look up other places. Where else is the word, you know, brother used in scripture? If you're in a gospel and you're reading a story, is this same story in a different gospel? Can you go look at it in a different gospel and see what details the other gospel writers included? If you're in the New Testament, is there an Old Testament story that points forward to this?
Yeah.
If Jesus is quoting scripture, can you go back to the original scripture and see what scripture he's quoting? And what does the original text say? Can you substitute in your own name? Sometimes there are characters that are left nameless and you can put your own name in there. Jesus speaking to you instead of to that character. I love to do that with the story of Zacchaeus. Can you ask the Lord, you know, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, kind of paying attention to those senses of God speaking to your heart or you seeing images. All of this is kind of in the first step. Yes. I just said a lot of words. No, what do you think about
that? That's great. Well, I think if you've ever, like, shown up to scripture and you're, like, frustrated of, like, why is God hiding things?
Yeah,
like a
treasure
hunt. It's like a good father delights in maybe, like, planning out a whole treasure hunt for his kid because he knows how capable his kid is. And he knows that there is going to be, he's going to be with them in the adventure and in the looking and the searching. And and that they can find it, you know?
Yes.
And so just this promise that, like, Lord, you do want to speak. And you want to speak to me now, even in this scripture, which I don't always understand.
Mm.
And I think for me, I sometimes come in with a belief like, you know, I don't know a lot of theological things, you know, and just actually like asking God, will you give me wisdom as I read?
Yeah.
And speak to me in ways that I understand.
Yeah.
And he will. And it's okay if I don't get all of the concepts, but it's cool to see like the Lord will meet me in the searching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like he wants to be found. I don't know. There's this thing. This reminds me. It's silly. I know this is silly and I might expose myself as being silly here. But something I like to say to my husband is when he knows exactly what I'm going to do, because I'm sometimes a predictable gal.
Yeah.
He'll be like, oh, are you doing this? Because he can directly identify it. And I'll be like, no, I'm a mystery. That's what I'll say to him.
Totally. I love being a mystery.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not predictable, but I am. And so he's like, oh, that's right. You're a mystery. He's very kind. He plays along. He's like, I don't know what you're going to do next. I'm like, obviously you do. I'm like, I wonder if part of that is like the Lord's heart. He's like, I'm a mystery. But like not in a broken human way, but in a totally like,
yes,
he is a mystery. There is so much to him that we do not know.
And I think there's adventure in that. Like, yes. Expect the unexpected.
And it's so nice to have somebody try to discover who you are and ask you questions and, you know, not accept the first answer, but say, really? Tell me more about that. Oh, what about this? You know, so approaching this scripture and saying, God, I have a million questions about this. I feel like that actually honors the Lord. He's like, you're interested in my words? I would love to share with you.
Yeah.
You know? It's a disposition of heart that I am looking for you and I'm going to find you, God, you know?
Yes.
It's like the bride in Song of Songs. She's like, where is my love gone? I'm going to search for him. So, but she gets beat up. So it's different.
Yeah. Whatever.
Different. Okay. Step number two, meditatio or reflect. This is where I'm trying to pull things out of the suitcase. Okay. I'm trying to get it messy. Pulling things out in the read step. I'm pulling things out to try to understand things. I'm like making a bunch of notes that don't make any sense. Nothing's pretty on my notebook, but I'm trying to figure things out, right? I'm
your highlight things. Stage?
Yes. I'm love like it. Highlighting, underlining, or I'm writing down things like, I don't know, a word like nard, question mark? Like, what the frick is that? You know, like I'm looking things up, right? And then in the meditatio stage, I'm starting to move to the question, why? So if this stuck out to me, why did that stick out to me? Oftentimes when I'm doing my treasure hunt in the part one, something will stick out to me and hit me. I'll be like, huh, that's interesting. And so I don't have to finish my checklist. Once I find something where I feel like God's finger is there, I'm like, all right, I'm going to stay there. So the question I start asking is like, does anything stick out to me and why? Because if something has stuck out to me, that's already God starting the conversation and I don't have to look further. I just need to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it tug at in my heart? What does it remind me of? Is there intuition here? I'm going to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
I ask God, what do you want to say to me in this passage? If there's a story going on, I would ask myself, if I was in this story, what would I say? What would I think? What would I feel? Would I say the same thing as the character that I'm reading about? Or would I react differently?
Yes.
Right. Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Entering into your imagination.
Totally. Totally. For poetry books or letters, rewriting. I'm big on rewriting because oftentimes the original words of the text don't strike me. But if I put them into my own words, I'm like, that has different meaning. And it's the same essence. So rewriting the words to sound more like myself, to kind of let myself see it in a different way. Be careful because you don't want to stray too far off what scripture says.
Totally.
But allowing God to show you something you hadn't seen before. Pretty cool. I also like to kind of do the examination of my own life. Does this affect my life right now? Does this refer to my current events? Does this refer to my past? Does this refer to my relationship? What, like scanning, it's almost like the red beam going down your body. Like, where does it hurt? Where is it touching my life?
Totally. But I also feel like you know in your gut where the Lord's kind of like hitting. I'm talking about that thing.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, right. You're like, no, don't talk about that thing. Yeah. Yep. Okay, great point. If this passage causes me to feel like emotional in any way, why? Why am I sad? Why am I crying? Why do I feel mad? Mm. Why am I like crying tears of relief? I don't know. I was reading the other day about like Jesus and his apostles walking through the wheat field and them pulling the grains of wheat, and they're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees say, why are your disciples doing that on the Sabbath? And Jesus defends them, and I started weeping. And I was like, what is this little story about these disciples having a snack? I've always made a joke about this every time I read this, but this time I'm weeping. And I was like, wow, I just feel like sometimes I do things in life that other people don't think are okay, and I'm doing them, and the Lord's like defending me. Mm-hmm. And I was just like emotional over it. And I was like, wow, he used a little wheat snack story to talk to me about like permission.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I'm like, in that he was revealing a part of his heart, of who he is. Like, I'm a defender of you. I am protector of you. But also, like, revealing part of your heart of, like, Lord, it is okay if I'm going against the grain.
Yes. And I think, too, it's in that example, I didn't have to do any of the quote-unquote work that I just described. Mm-hmm. I just was reading it, and as I read, I started to cry. Mm-hmm. It, like, immediately hit me. So I will say, you know, even as I'm in the midst of explaining all these different things you can do, there's also an element of God doing it. God is the one starting the conversation, and we respond to God. And so sometimes if it doesn't feel like he's starting the conversation, there's a lot of work we can do.
Yeah.
But the first thing to do is to yield to what he's saying. And I don't know, it's not like you have to do, you know, read, then reflect, then respond, then rest, then you're done. It's like you can jump to reflect. As I'm reading, if I get stuck on a word and I can't even finish the passage, I'm just like stuck on that word. I can stay with that word and not be like, I have to finish. I've got 5 more verses to read. It's like, maybe that was the only thing. So don't be like, I have to finish. It's not a checklist. Lexi Divina is not a checklist. It is a invitation to talk to God in the word. So if you want to do read, straight to rest. If you want to do read, reflect, back to read a little bit more, rest. If you want to do read, respond right away. You know, do your thing.
Yeah, permission.
Bop around, permission. Okay, back into this. There's other senses of scripture. So we talked about the literal, but there's spiritual senses of scripture, like anagogical, which is pointing to like earth, sorry, to heaven from earth. There's allegorical, which is like Old Testament connections to the New Testament. There's moral, which is like that lesson of right and wrong. How does it apply to daily life? So in this stage of reflect, you can kind of get a little deeper and say, is there anything of these lenses I can apply? It's almost like putting on a different pair of glasses. I can look at and see if anything sticks out to me here. So if the general story is not really speaking to me, if all the information I just learned about it is not speaking to me, can I see if it applying to heaven speaks to me? So thoughts about this? Anything that you would add to the reflection meditatio stage?
I think I love this stage. Just because I'm like, this is where I'm like, Lord, yeah, what is the personal thing that you have to say to me?
Yeah.
But I love how you posed it. There are a lot of means or a lot of different questions rather than just like, Jesus, what are you saying? You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I also like to ask, like, I'm sorry to add another one on, but the where was I the last time you were talking to me about this? I used to mark up my Bible a whole lot more. Now I get irritated at myself because I can hardly read my Bible because it's so marked up. I'm like, I need a new Bible. I'm like actually getting myself into a new Bible. I'm retabbing things. I'm making it all pretty, which I don't know. Maybe the point is to have it all messy, but it's kind of fun sometimes to look and to see, okay, the last time I read this, I underlined this word. That word no longer sticks out to me at all. I don't know what I was thinking reading that word, but now I'm reading this word, you know? So it's like that type of question. Like the last time I was here, what were we talking about, Lord? Because now we're back. It's almost like when you're visiting a place again, a place that was special to you. It's like, remember last time we were here?
Yes.
We were doing this. But now we're doing this.
Yes. And just seeing like, that was so long ago.
So long ago. Look at how we've grown, Jesus. Okay. Next one is respond. Okay. And this is where you want to really pick your brain, McKenna, because this can go a variety of different directions. And maybe we don't even have time to get into all the different directions because that's kind of our whole thing about this podcast is creativity and prayer and doing different things. But responding is... there's no best practice. It is a personal thing that you respond to God. You do in response. He speaks a word to you. He says something to you, bring something up. What do you do in response? So what does it generally look like for you when you're doing Lexio?
That's good. I'm even like, what does it look like generally? I don't even know. earlier this week, I was reading a psalm and I just was so moved to just keep singing that psalm.
Out loud.
And to make it a song. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
And then the whole day I was like, this should be a song. But then I was like singing it to my husband and I just was like, wow, it was like I think Psalm 107, that might be wrong, but it was like the prisoners, they were stuck in prison and then they cried out to the Lord and he delivered them. And then it was like, then there were the sick in their sin. They cried out to the Lord and he delivered them. And I just kept saying, he delivered them.
Wait, I love that.
But I just was moved to be like, to sing, to be like, Lord, you're a deliverer. You're delivering me in this area of my life. Mm-hmm. And another morning this week, I was like, I was sitting and then I was like, why am I sitting? And I started, like singing to my crucifix right there. Like,
wow.
But as I think, I'm like, I wasn't thinking like, wow, this is the next step. It just was like how my heart was moved and how I like naturally was responding. Of like,
it was really just drawn out of you. It was a move of the Holy Spirit. It was not like, yeah, I'm gonna sing a song now.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. I feel that singing, I'm not a great singer and I don't do this in front of other people, but I do sing when I'm sad. That's like when I'm sad, I don't like want to write about it. I just sing a little sad song. And I know it sounds so silly, but that is like from the broken and contrite heart. I'm like crying and singing. And that's like, so that's usually my sad response. Often I'm journaling.
That's so David of you.
So David of, yeah, well, nothing sounds as good as David writes. David's like rhyming as real. He's sad. I'm like, I'm sad. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Sometimes it's a little better than that. I don't know. I also do a lot of, I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm a stick figure drawer. So I feel like a lot of my response is charting it out, drawing it. So I don't know.
I like that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So there's lots of different ways to respond. We'll move past that because I feel that we have spent some time on that in this series. But the next step is contemplatio, or rest. And it's really just like put away the work and stop the hustle. And now we're just going to make space. So oftentimes like it's best to like put the book down, like close it.
Just open your hands.
Breathe. Be with him. Yeah, exactly. Whatever that is. Asking him more questions is totally fine. Jesus, what do you think of me? Jesus, where do you want to speak? Do you want to go deeper? Do you want to talk further? You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be your eyes closed. You can be on a walk. You can be moving. I don't know. You can contemplate as your hands move. But
yeah.
It's just like it's a quietness.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not a black and white way.
Yeah.
I like to envision, or when I'm teaching people who've never experienced contemplation, I say, like, imagine you're driving in the car with your best friend and you've known them so long that in the car ride is silent, but not because you're mad, or you're just like so comfortable with them.
Yeah,
and you know
nice.
Exactly what the silence means. And you're just like, we're just so comfortable that we're silent. Or like,
I like this.
When you're a little kid and you just lay your head on like the chest of your dad, and you're like, I don't have to say anything. I can just be.
Yes.
And I think this is a step that is so, I'm like, ah, what a gift this step is, because I can get so lost in my journaling of, Lord, this means you want me to do this next, or this is the plan you have for my life.
Yes.
That I forget to just take time to receive and be in his presence. Mm-hmm. And so I love this contemplatio/rest, because it's like, let me just be with you after what you've spoken. Thank you for what you've spoken.
Yeah. And even if you feel like you've only got a scrap of what he's spoken, that is okay. Even if sometimes after all the work, you're like, I still don't feel like I've got any direction. I don't know. Close your eyes and be with him, because he's still there.
You know?
He's still there. And maybe you are more keeping company with him, and he's asking you to just be there with him.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to him keeping company with you. Yeah. It's a special thing. I don't know. I was thinking about my daughter, of course, as you were talking about, like a toddler, and right before bed, you know, we do our like little prayer and we nurse and whatever. And then she hugs, you know, my husband, and then it's my turn. And she just kind of leans on me and like puts her head on my shoulder, and we kind of rock, and it's just so sweet. And those are like my favorite moments. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so fun and active. I love it when she talks to me. I love it when she's running around tugging my hand, but like, I love it when she's just still and just snuggly. And I'm like, wow. I wonder if the Lord loves, you know, I know he loves my creativity, my energy, and my, I'm talking to you, Lord, blah, 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 blah. But I'm sure he's also like, Monica, I just love it when you're quiet.
Yeah.
And still. And, you know, you're not trying to do anything. So
yeah.
I think it's a special. I think I honestly, if I'm so honest, I rush contemplatio. So I think
I would say same.
I need to spend more time there. And then the last fake step, axio.
Yes.
But it's important, because if you are praying every day and your life is not changing and you are not growing in virtue and you are not improving in any way, you're still unkind to people all day long, impatient, like, you know, so like, maybe you need to go back to your prayer and ask the Lord, is there anything today you want me to do?
Yes.
Is there anything to, any person on your heart, anybody you want me to pray for, anybody you want me to reach out to, any person that's lonely to invite something to? Sometimes you give me an itty bitty mission today, Lord.
Yes.
You know?
I love for Axio for these to be more practical.
Yes.
And And again, I'm like, I don't think it has to look perfect, and scrupulosity has no place, especially in this step or anywhere. But I would sometimes get stuck here of like, wait, I have to do this great big thing every single day. I don't know if I can do this.
Yes.
And sometimes the axio was like, I'm going to remember, I'm going to declare that you are a deliverer, like, throughout my day, or whatever it was. But like, or okay, I read the Good Samaritan. Lord, you're revealing of how maybe I'm not always quick and I hesitate to love. Lord, who is someone you want me to love tomorrow?
Yes.
Great, this one girl. Okay, Lord, give me an opportunity to speak to her.
Give me an opportunity and then see what he does. And maybe it literally is like, I'll send her a text, or maybe it's like, oh, she sat down next to me.
Yeah.
She called me, you know. Sometimes the Lord primes our hearts. Yeah, that's what I'll kind of, at this stage, since it does feel like entering back into the world, I'll like take my phone out again and write a little list and be like, okay, today I feel like I'm supposed to intentionally love this person. And sometimes the act is doing a service for somebody else. And sometimes it is just receiving God's love.
Yeah.
Like Sharpieing. I love what you said.
Yeah, Sharpie on your wrist of like, I am loved. I'm beloved.
Yes.
Love it.
Okay, so down with boring Lexio. And up with fun.
Adventure.
Creative.
Treasure hunt. God wants to speak to you.
Colorful.
In all the things you've read before and all the things you haven't.
Heck yeah. Go get them.
Go get them.